Hi, I'm with Yvette Francino today. Hi, Yvette.
Hello.
Yvette is an Agile coach, an Agile trainer. She's also a prolific writer, and she is a regular TechTarget contributor and expert. And today we're going to be talking to her about distributed teaming, remote collaboration. And Yvette, let's get started. When did you first become interested in distributed teams and remote collaboration?
Well, Valerie, I actually was interested way back in 1999 was my first distributed team. I was working at Sun Microsystems, and I was a manager, and I had staff that were all over the world, and not a big staff. It was actually a small team, but we had people in three different areas, Europe, Asia-Pac, and America, and it actually was one of my favorite teams because of the diversity, and we didn't get to see each other very often. So there was a big conference, and you could only go to the conference if you were presenting at it because of budget reasons. And so we decided we wanted to get together as a team, and so that we put in a proposal to have a presentation about distributed teaming, and it was accepted. And so in preparing for that presentation, I learned a lot more about what was available, and this was back in 99. We've got so much more now, and sort of discovered how we could make our team even stronger, and we had a wonderful time getting together in California for that conference, and ever since then I've been such an advocate for distributed teams. So that's how I first became interested, and I, you know, subscribe to different websites about distributed collaboration, and like I said, we've just come a long way since 99, so that was sort of the beginning for me.
Well, let's talk about the fact that, you know, Agile always talks about face-to-face as the best and most efficient way for a development team to communicate, but it sounds like you don't agree with that.
I do think that that statement, face-to-face is an efficient way to communicate, is a true statement. What I don't like about that statement as one of the, you know, 12 principles of Agile is that people often interpret that to mean you must have a co-located team and sometimes mandate that or insist upon that or, you know, act as though it's a big disadvantage when you have a distributed team. And that, I think, then puts people at in this mindset, and it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. If you know, it's a reality today that the teams are distributed, and again, we've come a long way with different tools and abilities for us to work in a distributed fashion. And so I think you limit yourself if you are already feeling like you're at a disadvantage if you end up being on a distributed team, and we all are. Even if your scrum team, for example, is all co-located, that scrum team needs to communicate outside of their team and needs to not feel like they cannot communicate well with someone because they are not, you know, physically present. I think if you have the mindset of recognizing the different advantages that you get from distributed teaming, you put yourself in a much better position to fulfill it. Having a strong team and a strong communication and collaboration, regardless of where you're located. So I agree that there are a lot of advantages to face-to-face communication, obviously body language and being able to more easily form a trusting relationship is easier to do. Certainly technology can get in the way sometimes, and if you can just sit together, you know, and hash something out over a whiteboard, that makes it easier. But I do not agree with mandating that teams must be face-to-face. I think that actually puts teams at a disadvantage when they have that kind of mandate.
Okay, well, let's talk about virtual collaboration then. Maybe you can tell us how you would define that and then tell us what you think works for it, about it, and what doesn't work.
Sure. Well, you know, virtual collaboration basically is just collaborating when you are not face-to-face or, you know, over a computer in some way. So so it could, you know, there really are three trends that have come along since the manifesto or recently, you know, that are just so big in the world, which are social media and the cloud and mobility. And all of these give us a stronger reason to collaborate and have the ability to collaborate with people when they're not face-to-face. So, you know, I guess I'll cover some of the disadvantages. First of all, you know, as I said, if you can't see people, you can't see their body language, and that can be a disadvantage. One, I think, a really big disadvantage when you can't see people often, that gives them a little more license to multitask and not be as engaged, because if you're looking at someone or if you're face-to-face, you know, even a class, for example, if you're at a class that's virtual, often you can put your phone on mute and be multitasking, and you feel like nobody needs to know about that. Although there are, you know, now little things, even like with WebEx, that kind of indicate to the speaker when somebody's multitasking. So sometimes now some of the tools are not letting you get away with multitasking so easily. But you know, basically, again, people have a tendency to try to multitask at conference calls or whatever when they're not on the spot as they would be if they were face-to-face. Also, you know, sometimes you'll have technology issues, and it's just harder. So that can be some of the downsides to it. The positive sides, again, are just there's so many advantages to being able to communicate with people all around the world, finding experts that you need for whatever questions you have, finding the right people and not being limited to having to be physically in the same exact spot. And, you know, that to me is just phenomenal to have that ability to be able to, and you have so much more diversity as well, because you've got people all over the globe to be able to confer with. You can take advantage of different, a lot of people talk about the disadvantages with time zone. That can be another one. If you want to have a real-time conversation and you're in completely different time zones, then that can be a problem. But also, time zone differences can work to your advantage if you know, want some round-the-clock kind of maintenance. For example, you have a mission-critical type of application that needs to get maintained. By having somebody in all the different time zones, you then take advantage of not having to get someone out of bed in the middle of the night if there's a problem, because there's always somewhere where it's going to be business hours. So, so I think personally, you know, it's going to depend on the situation, and I do think that there are times when where it's an advantage to have, you know, there are a lot of times where face-to-face communication is an advantage, and you know, you do have travel for those types of situations. Now, again, we do have webcams to be able to almost get that same experience that we would get if we were face-to-face, still being able to read if you have that technology available. But, you know, you get, even Skype is free, which is just amazing to me. So you can have a virtual face-to-face communication. You can't reach out and touch the person, but you can see their smile, and you can, you know, interact and see their body language if you have that webcam available to you. And so there are definitely ways to mitigate the issues that happen when you're not face-to-face.
Well, let's keep going along this line for just a sec, and let me ask you what you think the future holds in terms of virtual collaboration. You know, you've talked about sort of all the things that we have now from Skype and, you know, WebEx and everything else. Where do you think we're going with this?
Well, interesting you asked that. I think it was last night. I've been watching Silicon Valley. I don't know if you know that series, but it's a comedy about a techie world, and they had an episode where one of the leaders used kind of a 3D, so instead of a to the Skype conversation, he sort of, had a 3D image of himself that was like from the Star Trek where you get beamed over, and it was like you were physically talking to this guy in the room. I mean, that could be something that happens in the future. The funny part about it, and this is so true even with all of our technology advances, is that we still run into technology problems. So in the episode, they were talking to this guy, and at first it was, like, super cool, and then, he started, the voice started, skipping and doing, they had all these different technology problems, so they switched to Skype, and then they still had problems, and they switched to cell phone, and the cell phone, it got cut off, too. So with all the advances, we still have improvements that need to be made in terms of getting the technology faster and more reliable. And so I think that's part of the future, is continuing to build or continuing to make improvements in that, in those areas. And again, even maybe going through 3D. But what's just so wonderful, and even in the past 10 years, is that I do feel that technology is in a time where we are just growing so fast, and any issues that come about are opportunities then for improvements with the next, iteration of that technology. And so we continue to see more tools using more cool features. I just love social media, too, and the different things that come out that help people communicate better. I think, again, there's a lot of great tools, but some of them are complex. And so people want simplicity, and they want speed, and there are just so many different tools out there that are looking to integrate with existing tools and allow for that ease of use. So that's where I think we're going, is continuing to improve in those areas and look for other new cool creative ways to communicate.
Love this. So let's end on kind of maybe a quick look at today and what you think the most important collaboration tools are for strong teams right now. Like I think my company has really strong teams. What should we be doing to make sure we're really collaborating the most efficient way?
Well, the first thing, and this is in the manifesto, and it kind of even speaks to why people are co-located, is because the relationship is really the thing that matters most. So, there is this agile value about individuals and interactions over tools and processes. And so I fully believe in that principle, even though I don't think that should equate to you must be co-located. I think that means that you need to focus on the relationship over the tool and make sure that's strong. And that means, being reliable, engaging. Don't do that multitasking thing. Really, have a mindset of being there for the team and communicating strongly using whatever tools your team has at their disposal, and continuing to experiment with new tools and find ways of how those tools can work to make sure that your communication and teamwork are as strong as possible. So I think that gaining that trust and those relationships is, the number one thing to do. From there, you look at what you have available. It's going to depend on your organization, what's already, what site licenses you have, and taking advantage of those tools that you have for, online meetings but really being open to sharing photos and, the webcam and, I guess a little personal side of yourself. If you are distributed, one of the disadvantages or things that people have a hard time is bonding as a team if you're distributed. And in order to do that, you need to, kind of share a little bit, not more than just the business side, but a little bit of the personal side as well, and, get to know people above and beyond the business side. But from the business perspective, be reliable, and if you are having trouble with technology, then, pick up the phone and work out what tool you can use, so that you can make sure that there is a clear understanding with your team.
Terrific. terrific, Yvette. Thank you so much for talking to us today.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for having me.